Welcome to Blether Together, brought to you by Farmstrong Scotland. I'm your host, Sarah Stephen, and together we'll be travelling across Scotland to chat to farmers and crofters to learn more about them, their businesses, challenges, and the positive steps they take to manage their well-being. Our thanks go to NFU Mutual Charitable Trust for supporting the podcast series and to our founding funders, Movember and the Royal Highland Agricultural Society of Scotland. In our first Blether, I am joined by fourth generation farmer John Scott, who farms in Easter Ross with his wife Fiona and their four children. The mixed enterprise includes 3,500 breeding yows, 250 beef cattle, renewables, malting barley, meat boxes, and holiday cottages. We discuss all things farming, succession, the ups and downs of farming, and as chairman of Farmstrong Scotland, I ask John why Scotland needs this new wellbeing programme and how you can get involved. Grab a cuppa or put your trainers on and head out for a walk, or tune in while you are working away to join this very honest discussion with John and I. John Scott, chairman of Farmstrong Scotland. I know you, John, but I don't know you. And I'm sure there's a lot of people listening that also know you. You've got quite a high profile in the industry, but perhaps just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and where you farm and what you do.
Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, John Scott. I'm a beef and sheep farmer primarily. We're based in Easter Ross in Sutherland. We've got a couple of farms to look after up here. My farm with my family. So mum and dad, Jim and Janet, are still in the partnership, and I farm with Fiona and I run the business and our kids, next generation. We've got four kids who are starting to get involved, helping us run the business. Beef and sheep's our main thing, as I said. We do a lot of pedigree cattle and sheep, but we also grow a bit of spring barley, and we're doing a bit with agritourism as well now, which is quite exciting. It's a new area for us. We've got some holiday lets, but we're also looking at what else we can add in terms of agritourism, and we're the Highlands and Islands Molitor Farm, so we've currently got support to help us do that in terms of our facilitator and also all of these different minds that get together from all over the country, actually, with the four different Molitor Farms that are currently just started. So that's quite an exciting area. It lets us look at how we might bring more than one or two children into the business, and yeah, it's making us think out of the box a little bit, which is really good for us.
Oh, there's so many topics there I want to unpack. It's just that there's lots of things there. No, you're very forward thinking, John, and that comes across in what you do and what you do in social media. And I know where you live and I know your part of the world. It's a beautiful corner of the world, and I can understand lots of people wanting to come and visit it. So I've got to explain a little bit about myself as well. So I'm Sarah. I'm married to David. We farm in Aberdeenshire. We have four boys. I wasn't born and bred in the farming industry. It was all new to me when I married my husband. David is very passionate about the farming side of things. He's very passionate about sheep and cattle. We have a hill farm. He also does soft fruit. That was a diversified element back in 2003. In recent years, when I've sort of moved away from what I used to do, which is in broadcasting, I've overseen a sort of another diversified element of the business, which is a farm shop, venue and lodges. So I like to keep busy. So I'm really glad to be involved in the farming business, although I'm not born and bred in farming. And if you ask me sort of technicalities of cattle and sheep, I might look a wee bit perplexed.
You know, it's interesting to hear you coming into from a non-farming background and how you embraced our industry and what you make of it. There's lots we could go at here. We could be talking for hours. Maybe you could be doing the interviewing, in fact.
Well, anyway, we want to hear more from you, John. If you can explain the sort of concept of Farmstrong Scotland and where it came from.
Yeah, so Farmstrong Scotland started from a conversation we had following the Doug Avery tour back in 2018. And I came across Doug Avery on Facebook. Did I stalk him? I probably didn't quite stalk him, but I identified with some of what Doug was saying on Facebook and some of his posts. It was linked to him having a pretty tough time himself. And I started following and I started messaging back and forth a little bit. And we eventually, with the help of Royal Highland Agricultural Society and Alan Laidlaw and Nina Clancy was also involved from RSABI, we brought Doug over and he did it. On the last day of the tour, we said, well, what do we do next? We were blown away by the response to the tour. We expected to have 1,000 people. We had over 2,000 came along. You know, we laughed, we cried. He made a huge impact. He got farmers and crofters out there thinking and talking about themselves like they never had before. So there's a bit of a wow factor about it. The final day, we sat down and said, what do we do now? He said, have a look at Farmstrong in New Zealand. Straight away, I was onto the website that night. I just thought, wow, yeah, this is really good. This could make a massive difference in Scotland. There's nothing like it over here. And we started that process. We strengthened our steering group and we've been working away since then to bring Farmstrong to Scotland. We've had great support from the, in particular, a guy called Gerard Vaughan, who's the programme director over there. And he's been over twice and he's just booked his tickets to come over again for the Highland Show in the summer. So we've had great support from them. They've got a model that works, and that model is built on research and asking what the industry needs rather than just prescribing a programme, going out to the industry and asking what's required.
I was sorry to interrupt. I know a lot of farmers that listened and heard Doug talk on that tour. And just to explain to the listeners that Doug is based in New Zealand. He's a Kiwi farmer, correct? And yeah. He came over here and he came on the back of demand for his message. And I suppose in a nutshell, can you explain his message and what it was about that message that resonated not only with you, but those that listened to him?
So Doug's strapline was the resilient farmer. He's known as the resilient farmer. Doug was in a pretty dark place, mental health-wise, several years ago, and his local seed salesman dragged him out of the house, a long-term meeting, and he found a crop called lucerne, which changed the way he farmed and actually helped him change his outlook on life. And he talks about what he does to help him keep in the right place, if you know what I mean, because he does struggle from time to time, as a lot of us do. Let's get that out there. Many of us struggle calendar year at different times for different reasons. And Doug talked to us about what he to help himself. It's a lot. He does a lot of exercise. He engages a lot with people, and he's got a different lifestyle to what he had before. And I think for him to stand up in front of Scottish farmers and crofters and actually talk about that was we didn't hear about before, because you know traditional crofters in this country, quite stoic, wouldn't talk about how they feel. But these barriers over the last years are getting broken down, and we're finding that farmers are actually much more willing to talk to each other about how they feel. And the whole ethos of Farmstrong Scotland, and indeed Farmstrong New Zealand, is that peer-to-peer learning and how, what do we do on a daily basis to look after the farmer, the croft's number one asset, which is us. We're good at looking after livestock, but do we sit down when we're planning our week and say, well, where's the time for me and for investing in me, whether that's going to the gym or going for a swim or going for a walk, going to meet your mate on a Friday afternoon or evening in the pub, going out for lunch, whatever that might be.
Your name's above the door, John, you know, of Farmstrong Scotland now. You've sort of nailed your colours to the mast. You've told people, look, I've struggled. I've had, you know, issues in the past. I'm not sure if that's the right word to even call them. They're just, you know, day-to-day struggles, I suppose, aren't they?
It's interesting because, you know, probably 2 or 3 years ago, I wouldn't talk about the fact that there are times a year where I struggle. Struggle from probably middle of December, Christmas time. I struggle with Christmas. Why would I struggle with Christmas? There's no logic to it. I've got fantastic family. I enjoy being around people, but I struggle from Christmas through. And this year, actually, with the way the weather was, I struggled. And normally I snap out of it and I'm much better again mid-January. But I did struggle a bit longer this year. And I don't know whether it's a weather related. But yeah, I'm openly talking about that now. And I've got good friends around me that know the recognize the signs. It's just that flat feeling that you just feel a bit down, and I can have it sometimes. It'll catch me out in the middle of the summer for some reason as well. I don't know. It just comes and it'll pass, and Fiona knows, and I've got good friends, and the kids sort of know what to do just to help me. If I invest in myself in terms of exercise, which I fall in and out of, it does help. Definitely helps.
So to rewind slightly, point in your age progression, did you think, I'm not feeling great here, it's more than just the usual ups and downs, it's more than just the bad day? At which age and stage did you start thinking that you just weren't enjoying things as much as you should be?
I would just, the Farmstrong journey from that 2018 with Doug Avery tour, I've been learning an awful lot in the last 6 years about myself, and actually looking back on my life and what I used to do. You know, I used to have rugby as a go-to every Saturday. There was a physical exercise, the connection with other people. You got to travel, see different things, different experiences. But that was my week to week. I really relied on that. And I didn't realize at the time how important that was. So now with next generation in mind, it's really important they get a chance to go and do that. So I think I've learned a lot in the last 6 years. I'm learning all the time. It's one of the five ways to well-being is to learn. I'm being exposed to the Farmstrong thinking and the awesome team we've got, not just in the steering group, but also now in our employee staff. Meeting guys like Jared from New Zealand, meeting Sam Whitelock, the All Black captain, as he was at the time when he was across and he was playing at Murrayfield. He was a Farmstrong ambassador, and I took him out for lunch and went on farm. Learning from people like that has been fantastic. So yeah, I think I've become more aware of it in the last few years, and I understand it.
Generationally, I'm thinking of your parents who I've met, and you know, lovely, lovely people, very established farming family, have raised family, and probably come from a generation where they maybe didn't share their feelings and their ups and downs, and were even more stoical than we're expected to be. How did it go down? What was the response you had from them? I mean, were they approachable, and were they parents that you could go and speak to about what you're thinking?
It's interesting. I probably speak to them a lot more about it now than I would have done even 2 years ago. I just, when I feel flat, and they know the times of year, and they recognize the signs, but it's just that flatness. And I can speak to them now about it, and they know. They tend to, I can be a bit grumpy at times as well. That's maybe not just that time of year, but all throughout the year. But
it's generally farmers.
It's just like farmers, they're really supportive. And you know, Fiona's fantastic. She's the one that deals with me when I'm really low. But yeah, it's funny. You just know, the two or three friends will just, they're on it. They know exactly. They'll be phoning, or they'll pop in and get a crack. And I know myself, and I know what I need to do. I think one of the best tips I've heard, and it came from New Zealand from a conference over there, was if you think about a scale of -5, +5, and -5 to 0 being mental health, and 0 to +5 being well-being. What we've got to do with an approach is you build up that well-being bank account, so that when you feel yourself getting closer to 0 on the scale, you can dip into the piggy bank, if you like, take some of the reserve out to help you maintain above the 0. Now, I probably range from +3, 3.5 down to -1, -1.5. And I just want to shift that scale a little. I want 5 is maybe not sustainable all the time, but I'd like to spend more time at that 3.5 to 4.5, stop myself falling below 0.
How common do you think it is in the industry that there are farmers like yourself that feel this way now and again?
Everyone has well-being. So we've all got well-being. And I think it'd be surprisingly common that farmers just feel flat at different times of year. I think, but that's not just farmers, that's probably everyone. And you know, the number of people I've spoken to in the last few weeks that have come out of winter and thinking, I'm really glad that was behind us. I'm really glad that was behind us, because it was tough. And it has been, the incessant rain that we've had has really been hard going.
Did you always want to be a farmer, John?
I always wanted to be a farmer from day one. Yeah, always enjoyed being out with livestock. I'm not sure that I want to, and I put myself pretty hard over the years. We've driven the business quite hard, and I'm really aware now that I probably need to think about the next 15, 20 years and how I manage that.
So where did that ambition come from?
I don't know. Mum's pretty driven as well, and in a different way is driven, and he's been really supportive. And I think the big thing they've taught me really is that they've given me the opportunity to flourish, and now Fiona and I are trying to do that for the next generation, and they've given me opportunity to manage and run the business. So we're just trying to pass that on and make sure the next generation get a chance to get going themselves, but hopefully do that with the knowledge we're gaining now in terms of well-being and looking after themselves.
Yeah, I just wonder how many farmers, when I think about the industry and the people that I've met, you know, I used to travel around north, south, east and west, and I would come across new generations that had come back to a business or were expected to come back to a business. So succession is, there's a real strong thread there, isn't it, in terms of succession? Because if somebody doesn't take over a farm, what happens to that farm? And sometimes you think, do people choose that lifestyle, and is that after and maybe not enjoying it in terms of health and well-being because it's not something you've chosen, but you feel an expectation to come back? And do you think that how many young farmers now are farming because they really want to, and how many would farm because it's an expectation of them?
It's an interesting point, because I think it works both ways. I think I definitely know of farmers that were under pressure to come home, and actually, if you speak to them better, they would have done something differently, chosen a different career. And I think that pressure has been huge on them. The other thing you see is that, and I've seen it in the last probably 15, 20 years, where you've seen farmers encourage their children to go do something else, where actually they just want to farm. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to farm and get stuck in. I think whenever possible, if people can spend time away from the business, whether it's traveling or doing something else, it's healthy. But if you want to farm, you love what you do and you love your area, make every effort as a parent to try and facilitate that child doing that. But I think hopefully we're past the days of children being forced to take on farms. Hopefully things have moved on from that, surely.
I think they probably have. And I think, like you, I feel very strongly, having raised 4 boys, we have a farm and it's not divisible by 4. So like yourself, we're thinking, how do we create something that potentially they could carry on and, you know, do more with? I think that's a key thing, isn't it? You want somebody who, if they pick something up, they have to do more with it than you've done with. But I also want children to come back into something that they really want to do. I think they've also got to bring something back to the business. It's a big, exciting world out there. And like yourself, I think they have to go out and expand their knowledge and their horizons. And then there may be a light bulb moment. They go, no, actually, that I want to go home. And this is what I have. This is what I'd like to do. Farming is a business now. It's a business.
It is. And you know, you have to know what you're doing. And I don't think we get enough. We don't get taught those business skills necessarily. We also don't get taught how to look after ourselves. We don't get taught how to manage. There are lots of things there that we have to pick up on the job, as it were. I was very lucky. I was got a chance. Pure life, we were away in New Zealand and Australia for 6 months, and then I got to go again on my Nuffield again, Southern Hemisphere and America. And I continued to learn from those different circles. We both done rural leadership. Again, different circles of people make you think about what you do. So there are things you can do out there to help you bring other things back home when you come home. But I think it's, you know, going away to the other side of the world is a bigger example. But even going to the next door county or going and meeting for lunch and discussing what's happening elsewhere and off the farm is really important. And that's something you can do on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. It's just getting away. Going down to the local golf club for 9 holes of golf.
What are your pressure releases? What do you do? How do you manage it?
If I can get into the routine of going to the gym, that works really well. The rugby club for me since I was 16 has been my escape to get away from here. It's been a source of pressure the last couple of years because we've been extending the clubhouse, and as chairman the buck stops with me. But we're getting to a stage now the clubhouse is finished and the senior team is playing really well and things are happening there. So that's becoming a good place to go again.
What position did you play?
I started off as a prop and I finished up as a six or an eight. Sam James plays in the back row as well now in the senior team. And Archie, I'm not sure how I managed it, but he's a 10. So he's got all the skills and the fancy stuff. But I never had the skills or the fancy stuff.
He's Fiona's physique, has he?
He must have Fiona's physique. Maybe my brain, maybe for the moves. I enjoy getting away and get stuck in rugby. For me, that'd be my release. I've given to various things in terms of time, being away. I enjoy giving time to Farmstrong. I'm involved in a local steering group at the moment, looking at the local church, which may be getting sold, so we'd like to try and retain that for the community. Various different committees and boards, like a lot of farmers do. They get involved in things off-farm and are fairly capable when they do that in their local communities.
Can I ask you, what has been your lowest point?
Yeah, probably a couple of times where you just sort of just feeling really flat, really low, not really wanting to engage, not really wanting to get out of the house much. You almost feel a bit frozen at times. And not often. I can probably think of 3 or 4 times it felt like that. And then sometimes you just snap out of it and you're away. So again, going back to that scale, I just want to try and work on myself to make sure I don't get there and just maintain a level that doesn't let me get there. Doug Avery said a really good thing when he's on his tour about valleys and peaks. And he said, you know, you can't be at a peak all the time. You've got to navigate the valleys now and again. But it's knowing what to do to get back up the slope. Another thing, he used the analogy of the V of geese. You can't fly at the front all the time. You need to have others either side of you that will take a spell at the front. And that's the beauty about Farmstrong Scotland, and indeed the whole Farmstrong community, specifically Farmstrong Scotland. We can all fly at the front in terms of steering group. We're all capable of doing that. And we know, and we've developed a really close working relationship. You know, we know how each other thinks, and it's been really good.
It's interesting you talk about valleys and peaks because it's buzzword at the moment, isn't it? Sort of mental health, well-being, anxiety. I discuss it quite a lot with my children. I suppose I'm seeing it from a sort of parental point of view, and I'm not sure if you do with your children, but is it now sort of society that the next generation don't understand, or maybe we don't understand? I don't know how I'm putting this in a sort of clumsy way, but I try and say to my children that every day is not going to be a good day. You're going to have some crappy days, and I still have crappy days. We still have bad days. To think that we've got the formula right even now is wrong. You're going to have some bad days and you're going to do some silly things and some stupid stuff. And I still do them as well. But it's about going to bed and thinking tomorrow is another day. So it's quite a simple philosophy and it simplifies mental health. I appreciate it's a multi-layered thing. But sometimes I just say to my kids, just get up in the next day and go, right, today is a new day. And what I did yesterday and the stuff that got wrong, I can try again today. I wonder if we're instilling in our children or the next generation that they've got to be happy all the time, that they should be happy all the time, that everything's great and they can do anything and they can achieve anything and anything's possible. Whereas it's not really. Not all the time, not 100%.
No, it's not by any means, especially if you're a livestock farmer and in the springtime, it can really be tough. I'll link back to a couple of things that Mark Gascoigne, who's another Kiwi farmer who came and really opened up. He was in a really dark place. He talked us through his journey. He talks about having the delete button in your head, that delete button. When something's not gone well, just having the capacity, the mental capacity to delete that occurrence so that, you know, you move on. And the other thing, Jared Vaughan there, he says, well, is it going to bother you in a year's time? Well, probably not. What about a month's time? No. Don't think so. In a week's time, yeah, maybe a little bit. Tomorrow, well, yeah. So thinking about that, I mean, if it's working your way back from a year back, and just put it behind you. Learn from the experience. Isn't it? We're lambing time, calving time with a young team that we have. We're learning all the time. And I think that's one of the things we've got to do as an industry. And that's one of the beauties of Farmstrong. We have got an opportunity here as an industry to create something that will leave a legacy for future generations and help them look after themselves on a day-to-day basis, their neighbors, their friends. It's a team effort, it's a team approach. And that's why, you know, in New Zealand, they're learning from the likes of Sam Whitelock, who's an All Black and has been used to that high-level performance. And we'll do that here as well. We'll bring in experts to learn from. And there are plenty other industries out there we can get experts from that will bring things we can learn from into our industry. Really exciting.
We are of a certain generation. You and I are probably similar ages, although I think you're slightly older than me. We're of a similar age. I mean, we're speaking about it. We have experience. We have years under our belt. But you know, there'll be a lot of young farmers, young men and women within the industry you want to reach as well and connect with.
For sure. You know, in New Zealand, to start with, Farmstrong was quite male orientated and it's evolved as these things do. For us with Farmstrong Scotland, we'll be very clear from the start, farmers and crofters appealing to everyone from men, women, young, old, the support industry as well. So it's important that they get the benefit too of being involved. So yeah, anybody can learn from what we're doing with Farmstrong and get involved at that point.
Now, as interesting as you are, John, I mean, there's lots of interesting people that are going to be on the podcast as well coming up.
Yeah, no, we have got some really interesting people to interview in the podcast, and they'll just talk about what they do on a day-to-day basis. Some will come from different backgrounds, they'll have different stories. And I think it's important that we learn from those stories as we go. And we've been really lucky to date. We've had some really good people have got involved and talked about what they do to help themselves on a day-to-day basis. One of those is Hazel Moss up in Orkney, who's been wild swimming several times a week up in Orkney. And we've had both the Kiwi gentlemen, both Gerard and Mark, have swum with her up in Orkney. And Mark was there in February. It's fair play to him. It's the Churchill Barriers there swimming away in February. It was pretty cool. Yeah, just learning stories like that. And when you see them, people talking and opening up about what they do, it's fantastic to hear.
I'm interested to know how you find social media. You're on it quite a bit and you've got a very high profile business and farm, and you share quite a lot on social media. Has that had its positives and negatives?
Yeah, I think on the whole, take a positive from social media. I am aware that there's far too much clickbait on social media now. You can get pulled into some fairly negative stuff quite quickly. So again, and I'm sure the kids will pick me up on this, I probably am on my phone too much and on social media too much.
Why do you see it? Why is it important to you?
Oh, that's habit. And I think, you know, again, linking to Mark there, and it takes 60 days to develop a habit, and I'd probably try and reduce my social media and actually develop different habits. For example, you know, cold water therapy and having a cold shower. If you can have a cold shower for 60 days in a row, if you can, it'll become a habit. And it is good for you. It's definitely good for you. My word is a challenge, but it is good for you.
I'm sure you've got the Cromarty Firth in your doorstep. Should you not just be dipping into that every now
We've
and
got
again?
the Cromarty Firth and we've got the Stoltman brothers there who are dipping down in the Shanwick Beach most days. And yeah, we should be doing that. We've got a
Yeah, no,
pond
I
at the end of
just.
the garden too.
Oh, you have a pond in the garden. Is that the swimming pool you're talking about? Your swimming pool?
Well, that's more for looking over with a glass of wine. So.
Now, I know, I mean, Farmstrong Scotland and this podcast is only possible thanks to many, many partners. I know you were keen to acknowledge some of them.
Yeah, I mean, Farmstrong Scotland has such a tremendous support from various people. You know, RAS have been brilliant throughout, very supportive. Movember Foundation, you know, they've put a lot of money in that's been match funded. NFU Mutual have been really helpful and supportive for this podcast. And yeah, you know, there are others who have given various different sums of money, but also time and words of encouragement. When you're a small steering group and a small team of staff, those words of encouragement are really important. So thank you to them as well. And those have shared their stories. Some people are sharing stories that are quite difficult to share. You know, Neil Thompson and the Thompson family down in the borders there. Neil talked about his dad's struggles over the years and how that has impacted on them as a family. And that was pretty powerful stuff for him to come out and talk about that and let us interview him. So real credit to these people. And as we go forward, we'll have more people coming forward and sharing their stories and getting involved and get involved in lots of different ways. And have a look at the website, get in touch with the team if you want to get involved with Farmstrong and support. And there's lots coming.
And I think with the podcast, these things have got to be interactive. I mean, we'd love to hear from people, and if people have got questions about, you know, how they can get involved, one, but also just questions, you know, about well-being and becoming farming stronger, you know, within themselves, mentally and physically and emotionally, then definitely we'd like to hear from listeners.
That'd be fantastic to hear from the listeners. And hopefully, as we develop our material and the information on how to farm stronger, crop stronger, look after yourselves in terms of well-being, we want to get that feedback from them on the material we produce. And we'll also, of course, be coming to industry on a regular basis to gauge what we're doing. And there's no point in us just cracking on and delivering this program without checking in with those that are getting involved. So there will be surveys on an annual basis to find out where we are and to help us shape the future.
How does it differ from other organisations and charities that already exist in Scotland?
It's a really good question, Sarah. I think when we first looked at Farmstrong in New Zealand and we thought about our industry here, you know, there was a gap. There was nothing really being provided in terms of that well-being space, that well-being area. Now, over the past few years, well-being's become talked about an awful lot more, as you'll know. But there's still that gap in terms of peer-to-peer learning and that really focused approach to how we learn from each other, and also looking at science and the research behind well-being and making sure we implement that. You know, we will work really closely with other organizations, and we do have a regular correspondence with them and sit down with them. And if you could think of two circles, if you like, and there's a wee overlap, there's a segment they overlap. So yeah, there's nothing in that space, hasn't been anything really in that space as effective as Farmstrong. That's why we're focusing on that. I think one of the good things about being in existence is that there's more chat about well-being. And if by us being in existence, there's more on offer for farmers and crofters, well, that's great. And if you look at the New Zealand model, partnership, teaming up with others is key to their success over there. We plan to emulate that here. They're almost 10 years in now, and they're met some huge results. One of the good statistics from New Zealand is the reduction in on-farm accidents attributed to Farmstrong was 22% over a calendar year. That's huge. If we can have even half of that impact, we'll be really happy.
Well, thank you for your candor today, John. It's been really interesting. And I know that the story will resonate with many, many people within the industry, far and wide in the country. We've been discussing some fairly heavy topics and emotions and feelings, etc. What makes you happy? What do you do to make you happy? What do you do something every day that just gives you a bit of lightness, have a bit of fun?
Lots of different things. The kids are a constant source of happiness. That we're both very proud of them, proud of how they've turned out as young people. We enjoy working with them as well. We've just got a new puppy, and she is a Labrador pup, and she's just fantastic. Came hot on the heels of our old terrier who had to be put down age 14, but I didn't realize how much joy a dog would bring. So there's that. And I think spring, autumn, been out there with stock and just seeing stock doing well, and that satisfaction from a long-term breeding program and developing a herd of, for example, short-horn cows, that makes me really happy.
Of course, there are. I'm sure there's a long list, but it's just nice to share something positive at the end of this podcast. So, John, thank you very much for your time.
No, thank you for having me. I was going to ask you what makes you happy.
I mean, yeah, of course, as a parent, my children. I mean, do you know what? Thinking about what makes me happy and thinking about my sort of health and well-being and what you were talking about, swimming, for me, there are three things that really are important to me. And if I'm feeling low, for me, it's fresh air, it's exercise, and a good podcast, to be honest. I feel that if I get the right podcast, I can walk up our hill and I just shake off anything that's happened in the day. And for me, it's exercise. Exercise is key to my well-being. And whatever it is for that person, you know, whatever you find is your key to unlock it, it's important to try and include that every day. And that's what I do. Exercise is key for me. And just, I think as you get older as well, I think I appreciate the little things a lot more.
Definitely. I think exercise is for me, but when you get unfit, I'm not fit just now, just getting back.
I can only see your head, so it's hard to tell.
Getting going again. Getting going again. But when you do get going, like yesterday, I went to the gym yesterday. That was really good. I've got another session tomorrow, and I'm going to go again Friday. So hopefully I can build that up again and introduce the swimming next week and get going. You can get that stuck and stagnated through winter. It's getting going again. And the key for next winter is not get stuck and stagnated and actually carry that exercise right through.
Well, if we all had the formula right and we all had the right antidote to it, we'd be doing it. And we wouldn't have need to have a podcast like this, John, but we don't. And we all need support and encouragement and help every now and again.
Well, definitely. I think the key is, as a Kiwi say, you work out what works for you and lock it in.
Well, that's a lovely way to finish the podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's blether and it has provided some inspiration for your own well-being. One small step can make a big impact. find something that works for you. To read our latest stories and news, download our resources and tools, or connect with FarmStrong Scotland, visit our website, allthews.farmstrongscotland.org.uk, or follow us on social media.